What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
It's episode 9, so let's get right to it. Fellas, obviously the season didn't end the way we wanted to. Unfortunate events with injuries and shit like that, not being able to be out there with my guys. I think it did pay a toll on us overall at the end of the day, because this was very much a series I think we should have won. Like, sure, we could have got past if we was healthy. Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe we had everything to fucking beat Phoenix. So it's frustrating, especially as years go up. Like, you look back at this shit and be like, damn, another year, not necessarily wasted, but another year of not getting a chance to compete. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, get to the finish line and not be able to compete is like the hardest part of it all. Cause like my training in the summers, I literally go through my training in the summers prepared for how the playoffs is going to be. Right. Like, I'm mentally locking into how tough it's going to be, how grueling it's going to be, how exhausted I'm going to be. And I try to hone that so when playoff time comes, I'm comfortable there, you know? So it's frustrating. It's frustrating to not be able to go out there and fucking play.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, a lot of highs and lows during the season, and obviously we're eliminated from the playoffs, so this is a low. But any positive marks during the season, you know, because you have a bunch of emotions while mm-hmm. the season's going on. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite time within the season that, you know, things were looking bright? Does anything kind of stick out in particular to you?
The obvious is adding Russ to the roster. I think that was the biggest thing going forward. Or the biggest thing I would say that the season, the most positive about the season is, like, we found a leader. We found, you know, our point guard. It was unfortunate. Again, part of that was having Reg, the swap, trading Reg, bringing in Russ. Obviously, we didn't trade for them, but, you know, that was a bit of a negative to lose somebody as close as Reg. But to gain somebody like Russ, that was. You know, that was huge for us. Russ gave us a lot. Russ was ultimately before Kawhi went down, ended up being the best player for us once Kawhi went down in that series. And we got a glimpse of, like, prime Russ again. So I thought that was, like, the positive, not only for us, but for him, you know what I mean, for Clipper Nation, what it could look like. We saw that. After the trade deadline, we had some really great moments together. You know, there was definitely some positives in how the season went.
How do you feel about your boy Russ, who I know you always highly support? And to be honest, he didn't let you down. Mm-hmm. How you feel about your boy Russ not letting you down, like, from all the stuff that you said to get him on the team?
Yeah, I mean, he delivered. It was the reason I was willing to stick my neck out and vouch for him. Like, he delivered. He came. And you know, was a unbelievable locker room guy, great energy, great leader. And I think what L loved most about bringing him in was he was just very adaptable. Like,
right.
You know, obviously roles changed. His role changed when we first got him with myself and Kawhi out there, to when I went down and it was just him and Kawhi, to when Kawhi went down, it was just him. As far as our trio, I thought he was very adaptable with it.
Right.
And, man, I was just proud that he answered the bell.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, back against the ropes, everybody questioning.
He really did, too.
Everybody questioned him as a player. Does he still got it? He's not what he used to be. I thought he answered the bell. Like, he wowed everybody. He surprised everybody. And he earned that respect back. You know, and that's what I was most proud, just as a, you know, a friend, a brother, you know, being, you know, somebody that highly supported him. Like, you know, it was nothing that he couldn't do on the floor in the series.
Agree.
So, you know, it's we got some decisions to make.
Jackie, it's time to check in on our prize picks.
Yeah, Dallas. It's playoff time, man. It's getting real serious right now. I'm trying to pick.
Yep, I just won big thanks to Jimmy Butler and Gabe Vincent beating their projections. How'd you do?
First of all, the people don't even know what we're talking about. Let them know what Prize Picks is, man.
Prize Picks is a daily fantasy app where you pick 2 to 6 players like the video on your screen, then pick if they will have more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You aren't competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. So, Jackie, how'd you win?
All I did was place an entry on Anthony Davis to score more points than he was projected to get, and Austin Reeves scored more points than he was projected to get. And at the end of the day, guess what? I know how much money I won. But Dallas, tell the people how much money they can win.
You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. And on top of that, all first-time users that deposit and use our promo code, PODCASTP, will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100.
That means if you deposit $20, Prize Picks will give you $20. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. Cha-ching!
This is a rough year of stars.
Injury.
Not just injuries, like, period, but just stars being hurt.
Yeah.
The year in Oklahoma, and people try to ridicule me like, oh, he didn't play well that playoff year. Bro, I had a partially torn meniscus in that series against Utah Jazz. Mm. And I was getting shot up to play in that shit. Like, literally Damn. Getting shot in the ass.
Ooh.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, thank you. I already had one of those. I didn't want to be the second
I don't want to say it.
Just to play in that series. And, like, I started out feeling great because the medicine was just kicking in. And then, you know, it's not recommendable to like get shot multiple times. So like that had to last damn near for that playoff run.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so as the series went on, like the medicine started to come down and like I started to feel that shit. I started to be a little bit more stiff. Like I wasn't able to move. Like that shit was painful. That's just the inside of what we go through. Now the next series, we play Portland. Mm. People don't understand, bro. I literally didn't touch a basketball. So we had Portland in the playoffs. I remember like the last, like, I don't know, it was like last 3-4 games, I didn't play in a regular season because I couldn't raise my arms, right? I had got a shot. I came to LA to get a shot. Gosh, another shot. Shot in the ass.
Okay, wait.
Okay, well, no more shooting in the ass.
Wait, I have a real question because I can't get over this part. But, yeah. And sorry for interrupting your story. Why are you getting shot in the ass instead of your knee or your, like, what are they shooting you up with, bro?
With
and this was like, what is it? Like, I don't know. I'm genuinely curious on, like, why would they be doing that if it's like,
because
don't.
I mean, because you want to shoot into the muscle.
Okay.
And your ass has, you know, you're not going to damn it. Like, you're not going to miss and hit an artery or, like.
Okay. No, I think people are going to be
like.
It'll
go straight into your blood. Like, why they shoot you in your ass.
There's a lot of ass talking today, fans.
About it.
This is called ass talk moment.
In Portland, you couldn't raise your arms and you had to touch
the
basketball.
Like the last like four or five games, like I set out because I couldn't raise my arms. I couldn't lift my arms. And you know, you get like a week before playoffs start. So I came all the way to LA, bro, and I wasn't able to touch a ball for like 2 weeks.
Damn.
2 weeks straight. And then playoff start, game one, the first time I touched the basketball. And I had to play through that series. Like, and again, after that series, y'all saw I went straight to surgery. Get the right arm operated on. Get the left arm operated on. And I don't think fans just really understand, like,
what y'all go
you try to play through injuries. Like, that's the goal. If you can play through it, you're going to play through it. If you can't, there's a reason why. Like nobody wants to sit out for no reason. Like,
right.
You can't play through that shit because you won't be yourself. Like, and what's the point of going out there and be like giving? I heard Stephen A. talking about he could have, like, Kawhi could have gave you 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Bro, it's not about that. Like, if I got to go on the floor and I can't be myself, then, like, what the fuck am I on the floor for? I'm now liable to get even more hurt because I'm not myself. So I'm overcompensating, trying to do shit that I know I can't do. Like it was a dumb take.
Have Stephen A. Smith played any professional sports?
Hell no.
Exactly. So he shouldn't even be speaking on what y'all got to go through every day to put y'all jersey on y'all back. Y'all jump up and down, run up and back and forth. Like,
yeah.
You don't think somebody eventually going to get hurt
right.
and their body not going to break down?
Right.
Yeah, we give all the ones credit who fight through them and everything, but you can't fight through every injury.
You can't fight through
every. No, I wasn't upset that you didn't. I was upset that you didn't play in this series, but I was more happy that you was taking care of your fucking knee than getting in this fucking series just to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all would have made the next round, I would have been all like, come on, P, get in the game. You know what I'm saying? You ready. But Stephen A. Smith, you got to stop with that with these players. I know you was mad at Kawhi, but Kawhi is injured. He played
injured.
The first game, he got injured. Second game, he gave you 30 or 40-some points. Third game, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. His body wore out.
Right, right. When the injury happened, the biggest concern when that injury first happened was my leg felt like it was just going to buckle and go the other way every time I took a step. So when you got that on your mind, when you're coming back, like, you're thinking about that. Like,
right.
Damn, if I take this step, like, I know I'm not ready yet. I was going through the workouts. Like, yeah, I look good doing shit, but, like, I'm not doing it on the same level these guys doing it right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and so you're thinking about that. Like, you
and
that's
see,
on the back
don't
of your
think
mind.
You got to think of that. They just think you got the injury. That he trained
time
enough.
Passed.
It should be healed. You still got to think now.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do this? Can I penetrate this way? Can I move this way? Can I do anything? Because you got to get your mental mind right now. But they don't think
they
that.
They don't see it that way.
They think because you're doing podcasts right now, or he can be playing.
Right.
What y'all think a person supposed to do? Sit in the damn house all day and train all day? You got a life?
Right.
If I want to do the podcast, I come do the podcast. And guess what I did before I did this podcast? I did therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I trained. And probably when I'm done with the podcast, is what I'm probably doing.
Doing
whatever.
It's around the clock.
That's what I'm saying. They got to stop all that with these players. It's all about helping y'all to be healthy the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
If you get injured, it's an injury. That's why they made the word up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's an injury.
It's an injury.
Once the injury is fixed, then we can worry about that. Just because his leg looked good and he walking doesn't mean that he's ready. After that, you got to go through a mental mind. Once his mental mind is ready, he's ready. That's all I'm saying. So Stephen A. Smith, leave the players alone that's injured, man. You ain't out there, so shut the – just come on.
Thank you, Dr. Long. Thank you for
I'm
that.
I'm tired of that. These
Dr.
players
Long.
Doing a lot, man.
Dr. Long.
Y'all doing a lot, man.
Oh, that was beautiful, Jackie.
Yeah,
thank you
was,
for that.
That
yeah,
was great.
That was
moment.
We needed that. So
this shit going to be on First Take.
Russ had his post-game interview after the last loss, and he talked about how coming to the Clippers, he felt like he was home. What are some things, in your opinion, does your organization do to make players feel welcomed?
This goes back to the culture that, you know, when Doc was coach.
Mm-hmm.
The culture was like, we want you to bring the luggage. We want you to bring everything about you, right? Like, you hear some people say, like, you know, check your shit at the door, or it's, you know, it's one goal, one mind here. Like, nah, bring what makes you. Just make sure it goes with this. Make sure it goes with us. Make sure it goes with everybody. Like, that's what make you. And I think that's what the culture is with the Clippers. Everybody is themselves. Everybody is comfortable. You can be who you are. You can express yourself. But it's only one thing. Just be a professional. Come to work. Clippers literally got every resource you can think of to be a better player, to be a better person.
Like, agree.
And I think you feel that from Lawrence Frank, from the best governor in the league with Steve Ballmer, from, you know, having Jerry West in the arena or the facility, T. Lou, like, everybody is just welcoming. And you got myself and Kawhi. There's no egos.
Mm-hmm.
Russ, be you. We need you. We want you here. Come in. Do you? We've been here longer than you, but, like, it's not to say we can't follow your lead sometimes too. You know what I mean? We know you're proven. We know what you're capable of. You got a history of this shit. Your resume is crazy. We're gonna follow your lead at times too. You know what I mean? It's not like we're gonna drown your noise out or drown your voice because we've been here longer. Like, nah, it's we don't come with a pecking order that you got to fall into. And I think when he got here, he just kind of felt that.
What does Russ mean to the team, and why do you want him back on the team next year?
He proved that he is a leader. You know, he proved that. He proved that he's got a lot left in the tank. And for a team like us, like the more guys that can be versatile, the better for us. And to have a playmaker, have a leader, have a scorer, have a just a floor general, a rebounder. Like he just again covers so many holes, and wears so many hats. He everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Russ will do anything. He'll run through the wall. He's just so valuable. Like that. You know. Again, we saw what it looked like.
Yep.
We know it works.
Yep.
We know it can be successful.
Agree.
We got to get him back.
Yeah, get Russ
back. Want him back.
I agree with y'all.
Yeah.
But I don't want to just keep everything Russell Westbrook today because there's more players on your team and they all balled out in the playoffs too.
Absolutely.
And I know you want to talk about them other boys that stepped up because I know it was a lot of them that stepped up that I didn't even know was on your team.
Absolutely.
So I ain't going to even lie. I didn't know some of the players that came in was on your team. Like, I didn't know Bones at first.
Yeah.
I ain't going to lie.
Bones
big played. Big fan of Bones.
Bones played well.
Big fan, man. Norman Powell.
Yep, Norm played well. Bones, Nico had a big game five. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, ran out of time with where he was trending. He was starting to find his shot. He was starting to get aggressive offensively. We just ran out of time with that.
Tell me about your boy Norm. Norm stepped up.
Norm played amazing. What was that, game three? Game three, he had the, what, 40, 45?
His first, yep.
He was our offense, you know, and he just looked comfortable. Like, he played his game. He let the game come to him.
Norm need to be back in that start lineup.
You
somewhere.
Think so?
I don't know where. It's hard to say, but he need to be in that lineup, man.
And only yeah. start five.
I know, but he need to be in there somewhere. I don't want to say no names.
I think him being that six-man punch is very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree because he used to start. He is the sixth.
Because he's
now.
Used to starting. He's been a starter. He can obviously handle being an offensive. You know, the offense running through him. He's very comfortable with that. I think when you got myself and Kawhi on the floor, it's kind of harder for him to catch a rhythm. Not even necessarily play with us, just to catch a rhythm.
Right,
like
right.
He's a rhythm guy. Needs the ball. Got to touch the ball. Not necessarily just catch and shoot all game.
Right, right.
So I think him coming off the bench helps open his game back up. But he was great. He was great. You know, I thought we saw, you know,
yeah, I was
a great
just saying
performance.
That,
Russ game four. Yeah. Hell of a game.
Yep. Russ balled out every game to me.
He balled out every game.
Every
he left.
Game.
He. You can't say nothing bad about what Russ did, man. He literally put that shit on the floor every night. Like, I know he was exhausted.
Who, Russ?
Russ.
I told
you, gotta
bro.
Be.
Russ was playing himself. He was playing the teammates. He was playing the
refs.
He was playing the other. He was doing everything.
His defense was incredible, though. Like, all yeah. the, again, stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, yeah. he was just making. He was in the right place at the right time.
For a period, there was like a stat where everybody that Russ guarded, they were like, they shot like a bad percentage.
Yeah. No.
I was surprised to see him shut down KD like that a couple of times.
Yeah.
That was
it was. It was like a. It was like a extra little motivation there. I loved it.
And you were front row center. So
yeah, I loved it. Oh. I loved it. Like, it was definitely extra motivation for him to go block that shit, for him to go steal it. It was definitely an extra motivation.
He was killing
motivation.
Chris Paul, too.
Yeah.
He was killing
everybody.
Chris Paul.
There's nobody that could check him. There's nobody that could check him.
He made me feel, like, honestly, even though I didn't see Kawhi
mm-hmm.
after he was out, we already knew you was out, but Kawhi was gone. But he made me feel like, the Clippers can still do this.
We can still mm-hmm. win it.
They can still do that. If everybody play like Russell Westbrook,
right.
y'all can win this.
Right.
And, you know, shit happens, but hey.
That is a very good point. That is a very good point about that series. If we matched Russ's intensity,
yep.
we had a chance. We had a chance without me and Kawhi being on that floor.
And
if
he
we
played,
matched that intensity.
He played a lot of minutes, if you think
yeah,
about
did.
It. He performed.
He did everything.
He performed the same every night. It wasn't no night where you like, oh, he tired from the other night.
Mm-hmm.
He tired. Mm-hmm. Every night, Russell came out there and performed and gave y'all something for us as fans mm-hmm. to literally believe in. Like it was a point where, of course, when he was with the Lakers, I'm like, man, Russ got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Russ got with y'all. Russ can stay.
Russ got to stay.
That's all. I'm just keeping it real.
Pete, talk about how hard that is to move teams, gain the trust of the team that quickly. It looked like Russ had been on the team the whole year, and not many players can you just pick up in one system, throw him into another system, and that's on top of all the drama that he has to deal with. Right. And how impressive is that to be able to do that?
It's super impressive. It's super, just to go what he's dealing with, like, every time he step on the floor, I feel like there's just a certain amount. There's like a group of people that just wishes he doesn't play well.
It's crazy.
No bullshit.
No, I know. It's
that's so messed up.
And it's a nod to him to be locked in
right.
every night. Like, he's locked in every possession. Because the game would be going on, somebody will say something, he'll check them right away. And then he's right back locked into the game. You know what I mean? And he's in the huddles. He's talking out what he sees. Zoo, you got to do this. Or, you know, Norm, this, that. Or, like, he's just locked in. Like, I think that just is credit to him. And like, not a lot of people in this league love the game like Russ loves it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think that's what fans don't really understand about Russ. He plays with that passion because he genuinely loves the game. Like, he genuinely is a student of the game. Like,
it's
his passion. You know what I mean? It's just a passion to do.
So, P, if you were going to give a message to Clipper Nation, what would you, you know, say to the fans as far as looking into the future and what's ahead for the Clippers?
Put myself into a fan's shoes, right? I get it. It is frustrating. It is, like, because this, to them, year after year, they're going through the same lows of, we got a great team, we got a chance to win,
yep.
and then boom, there's something that happens, whether, you know, I get injured, Kawhi get injured, or years before we even got here, not having, you know, a star player or not being able to get over the hump. So I get it. But, I mean, I will say, myself, Kawhi, like, we're doing everything we can. I train every summer to try to win a championship. Like, I don't take my summers for granted. Neither does Kawhi. Like, we're going to get this shit right at some point, you know? Myself and Kawhi, like, we train every summer to be the last one standing like that. We came over here for a reason, and that was to win a championship. For LA, for Ballmer, for our legacy. Like, so to the Clipper Nation, to the Clippers fans, we carry that. We carry that burden. Like, we gonna get this shit right at some point. And it just comes down to the injuries. Like, unfortunate events. We can't predict how this shit goes. You know what I mean? I got my knee fucking buckled. Like, I can't predict that. You know what I mean? I can't see that coming. But, you know, we're going to get this shit right at some point. For injuries like that to happen and people to, like, downplay it or expect, like, because, you know, they saw the clips of me working out,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was controlled. The game is not controlled. Anything can happen, as we saw with the injury. Anything can fucking happen. It's very frustrating that outside people think that we don't want to play where, you know, taking the easy way out, like we're being caught, like we're hurt. You know what I mean? If they would have recorded me trying to close out hard, like they'd have been like, oh, okay, yeah, he's not ready.
But they didn't show that.
They don't show that type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's frustrating. But at the same time, like, they don't know what the fuck is going on. They've never been injured. They've never had to deal with this type of adversity within their body, and to go have to compete at the highest level. Like, this is what the shit matters. Like, they don't know what that shit feels like. So, you know, as frustrating as it is, it's kind of like I can't answer to that because they can't put themselves into my shoes.
I do have one follow-up question for you. heading into the summer, you always talk about how there's one thing or two things that you want to improve on for the next season. Mm-hmm. Have you kind of pinpointed what you want to work on?
Not necessarily. I haven't got to that point. Just season just ended. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm still like, you know, and I haven't played for the past, what, 5 weeks. So I'm still like in that rehab,
right,
getting healthy mode. But to the quick answers to that is, you know, I didn't think I was, you know, as fluid with my ball handling and being efficient with dribbles and space. I think I lost a little bit of that. That was one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest things that I thought I was, you know, what made me PG was the space that I could play in for my size. And I thought that kind of went away a little bit, like being able to play in the tight quarters, tight space, you know. And so with that, it's just lowering the turnovers. That'll help with being, you know, better with playmaking, better with decision making. So that's one of the things. And definitely just getting lighter. You know, for years and years, it's been the goal was to get bigger, get stronger, put on size. I think the goal is to get lighter.
Yeah, you're getting old.
I am getting old. I don't know if that's good to get lighter, getting older. But I do want to get back that quickness, that shiftiness, that explosiveness. So that's one of the goals, is to get a little lighter this summer.
So Giannis was asked a question by the reporter, and he had a great response. I'm sure that you saw it. And in his response back to the reporter, he talked about how Michael Jordan played 15 years and only won 6 championships. Does mm-hmm. that mean that those other 9 years were a failure? What did you think about Giannis's response?
I see where Giannis is going with it. From a personal standpoint, no. He's not saying like failure is good. From a personal standpoint, what I think he was getting at was more so like they didn't win the championship, but it's not about that. Is what he's trying to say. Like, okay, we would learn from this. So everything that we did this year, like, we're going to mark this as a failure. Mm. In his perspective, no. We know we got to do X better. We got to do Y better. We got to get, you know, all the little shit. Faster, stronger, smarter. You know, we've made steps. We're number one team. Like, we've made steps. I think what he's trying to like, go or trying to make his mark on is just because we didn't win a championship, it's we can't mark that down as a fairy. I think even he like asked the reporter, like, so mm-hmm.
he knew you turned it around.
Yeah, he turned it and put Eric. It in his perspective. Like Eric, what was his name? Was Eric.
If you don't get
a promotion, you don't get a raise, like, is this a failure? No, but I'm sure Eric is working his ass off. Yep. Like, he's building his resume towards that promotion.
Yep.
Not that he failed that year in the long run or the grand scheme. He didn't fail that year. Like, he's made the steps to now when his time is to get that promotion, like, he's ready. You got to go through that. And I think that's just what Giannis was trying to explain. And the reason why I think the MJ thing, he brought up the MJ thing is, you know, MJ had hell of a years. You know, he, you know, had some years where he lost, but he elevated his game. He got better. And ultimately, those losses turned into him winning 3 in a row, leaving the game, come back, win another 3. Like, and I think you know, from a professional standpoint, yeah, like, I'm sure their common goal was to win a championship. They didn't. That is a failure, I think, across the board. But from a personal standpoint, no, not a chance. I mean, I think you got to break down the way he quoted it, because he brought MJ in it. And MJ, he brought MJ in solely on an individual purpose, mm-hmm. right? Because he didn't say the Bulls. He said of Michael Jordan's 15 years, he won 6 out of the 9. And so you break down the individual part of it. I think I failed. I'm 13 years in, I failed 13 times of winning a championship. Like, that's what I trained for, is to win a championship. But when I look at, like, my year 3, or just year, like, each year, but let's go year 3, I was an all-star. I didn't fail. Like, I had a hell of a season. Like, right. I became an all-star. I became a household name. Like, I didn't fail. You know what I mean? Right. I overcame a ton of obstacles. I became, you know, a household name. Year four, I earned a max contract. Like, I didn't fail, you know, from an individual standpoint. No. But when you look at it as a team standpoint, and they had the odds were stacked for them to win a championship. They were one of the top three teams to win a championship. Y'all didn't win a championship. Y'all failed. Like, you failed that season. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with failure. Failure is what drives you. Like, that this next year, they should fucking be a whole completely different team because right. of the yep. lesson learned. Lesson you know what learned. I mean? So, yeah, there's no reason to be afraid to say you failed. Like, you failed. You didn't win. If you ask us, we had a chance to win a championship with the roster that we had. We failed. We came up short. That was the only goal we had, was to win the championship. Like, we didn't care to be the first in the West. We didn't care to, like, regular season matters. We want to win every game. We want to get into the playoffs and give it a chance, give ourselves the chance to win a championship. We failed at that.
Everyone's been talking about the Miami Heat. They just upset the Milwaukee Bucks. And Jimmy Butler is playing some of the best basketball in the NBA right now. And I'm a little hurt after he kind of disrespected a good friend, Drew Holiday. That was a little uncalled for, but he was playing well. He was out there competing. How impressive has it been to watch Jimmy just take over that series and essentially just dominate the series and win it for the Heat?
Yeah, it's extremely impressive. You know, it's extremely. You know, we saw bits of this Jimmy in that, what was that, the 2020 NBA playoff run in the bubble?
Yep.
Where he was just on another planet. You know what I mean? He just has – he and he's showing it now. Like, Jimmy's will, his just passion, his competitiveness. He's got a dog in him. Like, and this is shows who has the dogs. Like, you know what I mean? This is where the dogs come out. Jimmy is a dog. He's showing it. He's tough. He gonna talk his talk and he gonna back it up. Like, that's the thing about Jimmy. You don't let him talk his shit, cause he's gonna feed into that. He's gonna buy into the shit he's saying, and then there's no turning back. Right, so he's Jimmy. Jimmy's I applaud Jimmy. Jimmy looks great. He's looking like the best player in the playoffs so far, and he's got Miami on another level.
The NBA has so much parity, right? Like, and it feels like anybody could win.
Anything
this thing
could
right
happen.
Now.
Anything could happen. The eight seeds aren't normal eight seeds. Seven seeds aren't normal seven seeds. This shit all comes down to matchups, and I called it. I thought Miami plays Milwaukee very well. Like, they've been doing that for years. Regardless of who wins that series, it's mm-hmm. always going to be a good matchup. And yeah, I mean, you credit Miami, credit Jimmy. Bam's playing great. Like, that team looks for real. And if you got a leader like Jimmy, who you know is going to leave it out there every single night, like, that's where the role players, they're
Kyle?
Elevated. Kyle's playing great. Mm-hmm. He's you know, it all comes from Jimmy. It's stemming from Jimmy.
Right.
Your leader, you look at your leader. Your leader is the most dominant. He's the most aggressive. He's putting his body on the line. He's diving for balls. He's blocking shots. Literally, Jimmy's taking no plays off. You see that, and then literally everybody's going to fall in line, you know.
Only Kawhi has a ring on that team, right?
Kyle.
Not Kyle. What did I say his name?
Kawhi. Kyle and Clippers. Kevin Love. Kevin Love.
Kevin Love's got one.
Kevin Love's over there.
Is any of the role players? I'm trying to think if anybody else.
No, I think that's it.
I think just Kyle.
I think Kyle and Kevin.
And Kevin.
He's got Miami going crazy. Kevin. My buddy was at the game. Spence was at the game, and he said it was like one of the most craziest atmospheres. I think there was a quote that even in the when LeBron was there,
I saw that.
Like, it wasn't how it was the other night when Jimmy dropped 50.
Do you got any Jimmy Butler stories since all this time?
To go with his competitiveness, you know, obviously I spent a ton of time with Jimmy in the, you know, our early years playing in the same division, the matchups, Indy versus Chicago. We always duked it out. Like, it was always a great head up, mano-a-mano matchup. You know, secretly I'm telling people, no, I don't want no help. Don't No, let me guard him. Jimmy's the same way. No help. Let me guard him straight up. No switching. I'm going to get through screens. Like, we both – that's how we both played against each other. So it was always fun matching up with Jimmy. But I remember we were in USA. You know, me and him was on USA together. And it's championship game. And we played Serbia before this. Mm-hmm. Serbia gave us a great run. Run for our money, right? And they had a player by the name of Milos Teosedic. And he was balling. He was their leader over there, like little point guard. He ended up going to Clippers after that Olympic year, he ended up going to the Clippers and was with the Clippers, right? But before that, like, nobody heard of him. Like, but there was, like, talks, like, oh, okay, he's their best player. He's this legend over in Europe. So we're all like, oh, okay, like, all right. So we ended up playing him. And this is the game that was close. This was before the championship game because we ended up playing him in the championship for the gold medal. So this was while we were in pool play. And he had a great game. He was you know, hitting shots. He was finding people. He was the reason why the game was so tight.
Right.
So now fast forward to the gold medal game. And we going through matchups. It came down to matching up with Teosedic. So me and him fighting over him. I'm like, nah, I got him.
Who, you and Jimmy?
Me and Jimmy. Jimmy like, nah, let me get a piece of him.
Hey.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Hey.
We like all into it. Like let me guard him. Let me match up with him. Jimmy like, yo, let me get him. So we going back and forth. Like, and I mean, that's it. That's the story. But it was just like I could feel his passion, his competitiveness, because it was a big game. Like,
right.
We were having tough matchups all through that run to get the goal. Every team we played as hard. And he had just had a great game before we played them for the gold medal.
Right.
But it was literally just us two going back and forth.
So who got the best of him? Or Jimmy?
What was the guy's stats?
We got the best of him?
We drowned him out. He couldn't do shit. I started out on him. Jimmy had his moments on him. But we drowned him out. Like, we ended up beating Serbia by like 15, 20 points.
I want to know who got the best out of you and Jimmy, too, when y'all was going at it.
When we was going at it, I think I got the best out of Jimmy.
You got the best out of Jimmy?
I think it's fair to say.
But you don't think he got the best out of Jimmy?
I'm sure there's some stat guy out there who's going to put our head-to-head together. P, you average there. You average there. You won this. And like, I'm sure there's somebody that's going to pick this up. And
yeah, we'll pull it up right now.
But I think I got the best of Jimmy. You got to think. I came in the league before Jimmy. I was established earlier than Jimmy. And, you know, when I was year three, you know, Jimmy was just getting on the scene. He was just finding his niche. He was just starting to play. You know, it was definitely an advantage. I was a little bit more ahead of Jimmy. I had a different mindset on it because I had, you know, there was Chris Middleton just getting in. There was Jimmy Butler. There was Giannis who was young. There was just I was just a crazy mindset that, like, and Brian just left. So I'm like, shit, this is my shit now. This is my division. And so that's how I was looking at it as a young guy, like, I'm going to be the best player in this division. Like, and it was all good wings. You know what I mean? Right. Giannis, Chris Middleton. Who was the other cat before Chris Middleton? Jabari.
Jabari Parker.
Jabari Parker was in
Man,
there.
There's
a problem.
Yeah.
I think injuries.
Jabari Parker.
And so, yeah, I no, there was no, like, oh, let me teach him some tricks. P was not in a friendly matter those early years in Indiana.
Jimmy averages 14
against
you. You average 21.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
Pull those stats up again.
Huh? Yeah.
I love it.
Now, I'm not going to lie. It's almost.
You give him 30 a few times.
I'm not going to lie. Matching up with Jimmy is almost like there's a level of respect there. I'm not going to lie. There's a level of respect when me and Jimmy played that. Like, I don't know if it's because the prior times we played and I've had his number and. But there's a very thick line of respect right there where he's like, he knows It's going to be a tough one.
Jimmy Butler is obviously establishing a reputation where it's like every time this guy gets into playoffs, he turns into like one of the best players in basketball. How hard is it to kind of elevate your game to the level that he has been elevating his?
I mean, it's tough. It's tough. But I'm not surprised by the level that he's playing at now. That's just how he plays the game. Like, if you watch him in a regular season, I wouldn't say he's coasting, but this is what the moment that he's waiting on. You know what I mean? Like, he's waiting to get to this moment to actually play for something. Like, that's how he plays the game. He plays extremely hard. Again, the motherfucker puts his body on the line every time. And he understands it. Like, the playoffs, I heard him on the Knuckleheads where he says he's never won it at any level. And so the reason why he goes so hard, because he wants to be remembered as a winner. You know what
Damn,
I mean?
He never won at no level.
He's never won at no level. It's the same way with me. I've never won at any level. And like, that, when it comes to the playoffs, it's like, I would do anything. Like, I would do whatever it takes to win. Like, I will go through, if I'm hurt, I will play through it. If I can, like, if it's allowable, I will play. Right. I would go through anything to try to win a championship. Look, when you see him playing at this level, it's not surprising. Like, because it's not like he's a 3-point shooter. Like, he plays in the paint. He plays physical. He's going to play and get fouled because he's so physical. And because of that, the playoffs, like, that's what it comes down to. Who can get easy baskets?
Well, do you think he's going to keep this high play up against
Absolutely. The
New York Knicks?
Absolutely.
They got good defense. Good defense.
Absolutely. And I love the Knicks defense. The Knicks do got great defense. They're a tough team. I don't know. Julius, I don't think, going to be back anytime soon with that ankle
that
injury. He didn't look
injury?
Too good.
It's
he didn't
everyone.
Look good. Yeah.
I feel like everyone's hurt.
So you think this is easy for Jimmy and them?
It's not easy. It's not easy.
Because they got their main star out.
The fact that they went to Cleveland and closed out the series without Julius for the whole half, like, they showed you that they're capable of you know, still winning games without Julius, if Julius is available or not.
So we talked about the Memphis Grizzlies and their trash talking, and as of recent, Dylan Brooks had a lot to say about LeBron, and I think he's already regretting some of the things that he has spoken to Mr. James over there on the Los Angeles Lakers. How much of that trash talking do you think affects the team? Like, I know you've been on a couple teams with Lance Stephenson, and how do you kind of handle that, like, as a teammate of someone that's talking and kind of poking the bear?
Being an agitator is like a slippery slope. Like, no bullshit, because, like, you talking shit to somebody that controls the game.
Right.
Bron controls the game. And you're Dylan Brooks, like, you don't get 20 shots a night. You don't get 25 shots a night. Like, Bron does. Like, You don't think he's going to hit shots. You don't think he's going to make shots. Like, he's going to play well. Like,
right.
And it's a slippery slope for that reason alone. Like, you're trying to match up with somebody that's going to get way. That's like having a shootout and you got 3 bullets to my 25 bullets. Like, who's going to win? You better get some good ass. Yeah, your aim better be fucking impeccable.
Did y'all see the accolades they posted?
Yeah.
That was sick. They did him wrong on that.
That's
what he get.
That's literally what it is. Like, in a regular season, it works because you're not gonna, like, you're in the playoffs, you gotta see him max 7 times. Like, you're gonna have to see him. And again, to that analogy of 3 bullets to 25 bullets.
Right.
Like, you better be on with it. Like, you're going to have to stop him on a nightly basis. And then again, like, how you seen with the media getting involved with it now?
Now he's
hearing that noise, bro. You can't tell me he's not hearing that noise. He's not, like,
oh, you see, he has kids.
Yeah.
They showing
him. Came out like, why does everyone, you know, paint me out to be the villain now? I'm like, bro, stop.
Yeah.
Like how LeBron handles it, though. He never says nothing. He has it like the king.
He keeps it professional.
He just go crazy.
But again, when you're comparing the two, like, why the fuck would LeBron answer to Dylan Brooks?
Yeah.
Exactly. Who are you?
Who are you? Like, what have you done? Like, right. why am I even having this with you?
Right.
Prove yourself first.
Waste of time.
So yeah, it's you know, when Lance did it to Bron.
What was that locker room like after that?
It was. I'm not gonna lie. Originally, I was like,
why? Like, why you do that?
Because I'm guarding him. Like, you know what I mean? The reason Lance was on Bron for those moments because I was in foul trouble. But for the series, I'm guarding Bron. So, like, bro.
Yeah, take it all out on you.
Yeah, like, what the fuck are you doing? But I thought it raised, like, I thought it drew to our intensity of, like, we not backing down to y'all. I thought we stood behind Lance after he did that, opposed to, like, you know, getting on him about it or breaking up about it. I thought we backed him up. And it made for us to just raise the intensity.
Did LeBron say anything about, like, hey, like, my bad, bro. Like he should have not blown in your ear. Anything
nah,
like that? Like,
nah, that shit was, like, unspoken, bro. That shit was unspoken. Nobody said anything about it. We didn't even, like, I mean, Lance did shit all season. Like, and he do shit in practice to try to get under your skin. Like, we knew that was Lance, but, like, literally, like, that shit came out of left field when it happened.
Can we get Lance back in the league?
Man, we
please.
Man, I'm Born Ready. Shout out Born Ready. Man.
So excited.
He's Born Ready. Sick, bro.
He dribbles. He does fast. He passes. He shoots. When the coach tells him don't shoot, he going to shoot it anyway.
What happened? Speaking of, because wasn't he on Indy? Was it this year or was it last year?
I think it was last year.
And he played great?
Yeah, he played great. I don't know, man.
Still talk to me?
Yeah, from time to time. From time to time. You know, we follow each other on social medias. Like, you know, I'll update based off of what he's doing.
You got Russ on the team.
We'll chop it up.
On the team, P.
I love Born Ready, bro. I love Born Ready. Born Ready is the reason I am who I am today. No cap.
Shout out to Lance Stephen for making P who he is today, baby. Come on, Lance. Now it's time for my favorite segment, Rated PG, when my boy PG give us a new NBA player and tell us all about him that we don't know about. So, P, give us your rated PG on a new one.
My rated P on a new one? Damn, y'all ain't going to even know this player right here.
I hate when you do this.
I got another sleeper for you. This kid is – I had a chance to play against this kid this summer, working out against him. And I didn't know who he was. He's a rookie now, but I didn't know who he was. Come to find out, he went to UCLA, and even then, I didn't like. UCLA. And they say he was a high draft pick, and I'm oblivious to it. Like, I don't know what's
about
going
to say.
On when it comes to the new guys, and but he's competing and he's talking shit. He's trash talking, like, and he's backing it up. Like, he's showing well in the gym, and come to find out, it's Peyton Watson. And he plays for Denver. He's with the Nuggets right now. But the kid is good. Kid is
Peyton
extremely
Watson.
Good. Peyton Watson.
What position?
20-year-old. He's small forward. Young cat. Okay. But he's going to be good. I think Denver took slack for getting him because there was he averaged 3 points at UCLA.
Yeah, I actually knew who he was, but I haven't watched him in the league yet.
Yeah.
So. Who are you comparing him to?
He's kind of got like a Brandon Ingram game. Like long wing. He's got that, like, slow-paced game. He's long. He's tall. He can shoot over you, can handle it, three-point shot.
20 years old.
20 years old. Athletic. He's good. He's good. I think it's going to be a while, you know, before we see him blossom into, you know, what I think he's going to be. I think he's going to be a stud. But, you know, he's got to wait his time. But he's going to be really good. When he gets his opportunity, just remember that name.
Peyton Watson, y'all heard the name. Don't sleep on it. You just been rated PG, baby.
All right, guys. Jackie gave us his favorite segment. Now it's time for my favorite segment, the Social Corner. Today we got a question from Trace VGC on my favorite fan moment ever. It actually came this year in Atlanta. We were playing the Hawks and literally, like, it was like, because the Hawks seats, like, fan seats are literally right behind us. Like, they're literally right behind us. And it was like a section of, like, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8. It was like 6 dudes, 2 girls. But they was like super Clipper fans. They was big PG fans, like my super fans. Like, they had my Indy jersey, I think one had my Fresno jersey, like crazy fans, right? And I'm always like too locked into the game to try to break character, right? Like people might think it's an asshole, but I'm weird about that, like breaking my character. Like I'm trying to be locked in. But they going crazy behind us, like we in the huddle. They going crazy, like, let's go, Clippers. Like, PG, you killing them. Like, y'all boys is killing. Y'all boys killing. So, like, as the game going on, I'm, like, slowly, like, because they loud as shit every time. So, as the game going on, I'm, like, and I keep going back, and I'm, like, oh, okay, they cool as shit. Like, I'm fucking with the vibe. And, you know, Reg is, like, super into the crowd and fans and, you know, and so now they get a hold of Reg, like, and Reg is dancing and shit with him. Reg is like being himself, you know what I mean? And it was just like, it was a different experience to have that like type of love at a game where, and it's Atlanta. So Atlanta, you know, they playing their music, half times or timeouts, music rocking, but they like, you know, they turned up behind us. So after the game, like we beat Atlanta there. After the game, me and Reg, we go into the crowd. Like, we go up the stairs. We go into the crowd. We, like, chopping it up right after the game. Like, that's we wild. Sweaty as shit. Like, and they like, oh, man, we fuck with y'all. Like, y'all boys dope as shit. Like, it was just a cool experience between us and them. Like, they was like, man, y'all super down to earth. Like, we even more fans. Like, damn, you cool as shit. And, it was dope. It was actually a dope experience. Like, it was one of my favorite experiences from a fan just to get that kind of connection.
Did you take pictures with them?
Yeah, we took pictures. Like,
signed their jerseys and everything?
I signed the jerseys. We took pictures. And it was literally like we knew them. Like, we knew them forever. Like, that's how dope and cool the experience was. Like, the coaches was cool with them. Like, man, y'all motherfuckers got to travel with us.
That's dope. I hope they probably watch the show.
I'm sure they got to watch the show.
Leave a comment. We want to see
sure
that picture.
They'll send that picture. I'm sure they'll send that picture, bro. They was live. That is a wrap for episode 9 of Podcast P. I want to shout out my guys, Dallas Rutherford and Jackie Long. Always rocking with your boy and for the fans for keeping it tight.
Reminder, new episodes are going to be dropping for the rest of the NBA season. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube and turn on those post notifications so that you don't miss an episode. And also make sure you follow us across all our social media channels at Podcast P Show. Jackie, any last words?
Once again, thank y'all for tuning in to episode 9 on Podcast P. Hey, we thank y'all as always. We appreciate y'all. And like I always say, we not shit without the people behind us. So see y'all episode 10 with the juice and the gin.
You dig.